Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting, The Next Step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazquez brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
One of the most memorable movies in my life has been one that I haven't seen, and it's one that I probably will not see. I'll share that with you coming up in the second portion of today's show. Got so much to share with you, the first portion. I mean, first of all, happy Vartanants. Today is the Feast of Saint Vartan. Yeah, 2/20/2020 is the date today. Pretty wild when you think about these 20s and 20s and the ability to see clearly, they say, is 20/20 vision, right? Yeah. Can have a lot of fun with the date. 2/20/2020 is today's date. It is the Feast of Saint Vartan Mamigonian. That means 2 days earlier was the Feast of Saint Revant, the priest. Two friends from the 5th century who really took on, well, I want to say even took on the world. I know it's like an Armenian battle, but it's like taken on the world. This is a battle where the outcome of it, this is a 5th century event, the outcome of it gets to be determined by us. It's pretty wild. I gave a sermon about it just last week, and I know it appears somewhere on the net. I'll just leave it up to you if you want to do some digging. But it's interesting because it's a 5th century battle that takes place, and against all odds, we stand up against 3-1. 3-1, we're outnumbered against the Persians, and we lose. The Armenians lose to the Persians, and yet here it is, like, what, 1,700 years later, we still commemorate it. We still celebrate this battle, this loss, because we were able to maintain our Christianity, our faith. And so it's an interesting story because Vartanants 451, when it happened, continues to today, Vartanants 2020. And we get to make that decision. We get to make that decision whether the battle was won or the battle was lost. Kind of interesting, right? When you talk about like when you talk about like virtual realities, augmented realities. I mean, before technology caught up with us, we were doing this back, you know, 5th century. Anyway, today's Vartanants, happy Vartanants. I'll put a link on today's show notes. There's to a sermon that I gave earlier, and that way you could just check it out because it's not what I want to talk about today. There's so much more. It's a couple nights ago, it was on Revontians, that morning, very strange event happened, like 3:30 in the morning. I got up and I'm wide awake. And so I did the usual things that insomniacs do, you know, trying to get back to sleep, trying to catch up with you sleep. But in this case, it was a little bit different. There was just a lot going on in my head. And you know what? Hang on to this because I'm going to talk more about this in the second portion, coming up with what I shared with you about that movie and about, well, there's just so much. It's a Lenten treat for you in the second portion, a Lenten treat. We're going to start Lent next Monday. Okay, so I've got a treat for you. Just hang on to that idea. But you wake up in the night and your head starts going and it starts doing all kinds of things, calculations about where you're at, what you're doing, and how you're feeling, and worries. Anyway, I don't need to tell you. I'm sure everybody's had a bout of insomnia, and this was my evening to have one. 3:30 in the morning, you know, I'm up, and so I'm doing the things that insomniacs do. I started reading. Time to tire my eyes out. Well, forget about TV. That doesn't work. TV's okay if you can find something. If you can find a black and white movie. You know, I think Perry Mason, for me, does me in. Perry Mason and Alfred Hitchcock, circa 1950s, early 1960s, black and white. Those will do it to me every time. You know, if I can find that, you know, you just kind of put it on, your eyes just get worn out. Your head just can't keep up with what's going on, the details of the stories. Anyway, that wasn't happening that night. I took out my iPad and started looking through the news and just reading, just trying to tire my eyes out. What do I see? I see an article about the occultation of the moon. Okay, the name gets to me and it says, tonight. What? Okay, so Mars and the Earth, two planets, are now going to be separated by the rising moon. And this happens, it's not a frequent phenomenon. In fact, the last time that this happened was 1998. And here it is. It says that today is the day to watch the occultation. That's the word that they used. That basically it's an eclipse of the planet Mars. And so I read it. I thought, wow, that's interesting. You know, I get interested in things like that. And it says the people in the United States are going to have a special treat on this day, on the 18th of February. Okay, I keep reading. You got me there. People on the East Coast are going to be able to see it right after sunrise, which is going to make it difficult because Mars will be lost. People in the Midwestern states, people in the middle of America, will see it just before sunrise. And so they're going to have a great, great view. And people on the West Coast of the United States, which I am, are going to have a view of it between the hours of 3:30 and 4:40. At what? I'm looking at the clock. I've woken up at 3:30. It's in the morning. And that day was not cold at all. So I just like opened the door and went outside. You know, I just very thankful that there's nobody else out there that think, what is this guy doing? Crazy? What's going on? Middle of the night, he's out there looking up into the heavens. Well, it was interesting because at 3:30, the moon had not come up yet where we were at. And so I started looking out at the horizon. Anyway, it was around 4 o'clock that the moon started to appear and come in out. And I tried to figure out where Mars was. To be honest with you, I ended up watching it on the internet. They had a little feed and they showed it. And it was enough for me. I was happy that at least I was up for this phenomena. I was seeing it. And it's interesting because, you know, everything lines up. Like I said, today is 2/20/2020. And this aligning of the numbers, calendars, they're important for us to take note of. They're very important because they give structure, they give an order to life. Now, I understand they're arbitrary number. I mean, you know, if we had decided to start the numbering system on a different year, if we had decided to do something, you know, these numbers are basically arbitrary given by us, but it's okay. It's okay because they are the order, the sequence of events. And this is, I think, to me, when I study these events, these numbers, in terms of mathematics, it's interesting because to me, mathematics is a pure science. It is almost like a language of God. And it lines up with our reason. Okay, that's what's so beautiful. Of course, we've created this system called mathematics, and it's created out of our reason, so it has to line up to reason. It's rational, you know. 1 and 1 equals 2. Why? Because you could take one thing and you could see it. Take the other thing. You add these two things together, and you have two of these things. Okay, just very, very basic kind of understanding. But when you get into more complex mathematics, you understand that your power of reason is being challenged and put to the test, because the only way that those upper mathematics, such as calculus, trigonometry, when you get into some of the higher level math courses, you realize how dependent it is on us using our faculties, using our powers of reason. In other words, you cannot say 1 + 1 = 2 until you have at least proven that there is a one and another one, and these things come together. And this is very important to me, because when I try to understand where we are as human beings and our faith system, it's very important that we don't go beyond that rationality. Now, I know you've listened to me, and I've spoken about mystery, about the mysticism in the church, the mystery that we have. This is beyond that, because when you follow the reason, when you follow your reasoning powers, you realize you connect to that mystery in a way that you can't otherwise. And so when I talk about 2020, and this phenomena of Mars going into the shadow of the moon, which I can't even understand. I didn't realize that the moon would cast a shadow that far. But apparently what it is it's not so much the shadow as the way it covers up Mars. That's what I was to understand. And that one was a little difficult for me. It was much easier a couple of years ago when we went and saw the eclipse of the sun to understand that, you know, the sun is behind the moon, not necessarily in the shadow of the moon, because how far could that shadow be cast, right? So I think this is where you start getting into this rationality. You can't just say, well, it's the shadow of the moon. Yes, the moon's shadow, if the sun is behind it, the moon's shadow is coming to us, and we are in the moon's shadow, right? And so what we are observing is the sun being blocked out. So using your rationality, you figure out, okay, hey, this is what this phenomena means. And I think through the centuries, what's happened is the debunking of religion has been the debunking of mysticism as something that is irrational. And I think by definition, we say that it is irrational, right? So where do we stand? We have a faith that believes in a savior who died and rose. And we know that, rationally speaking, the body is made up of cells, and those cells have a life expectancy. And when that life has ended, and when the blood doesn't go to those cells, when the heart doesn't pump, and the blood loses its oxygen, it dies. And the system that it support dies. So if somebody is beaten and flogged and left to die on a cross, and the breath taken out of that person, and it's over. And then for us to believe that 3 days later, from that reality, he came back to life, well, that's going beyond rationality, reason, right? And it is appealing to imagination, to wonder, to mystery. And so we're in this dilemma. As rational human beings, that how do you justify articles of faith, these things that we believe? And it is at the foundation of Christianity, right? That we believe in a Savior who came and beat life, beat the parameters set by death, and went beyond death and opened the door to eternity. Okay. Now we've got a problem. You've got a problem because your world is built on that rationality of numbers, of real reason, and it's your brain doing that, right? And we talk in this language, and we see the purity of that language. Anybody who has studied mathematics in depth will tell you it is a pure, pure language. It's purity. And anybody who's studied music, especially from the masters, right? You listen to Bach, you listen to Beethoven, Vivaldi, Mozart. It's the complexities that are presented in their purity through their music. Right? I mean, it's the same story. Because rationally, we can look at a piece by Beethoven and see that how he got there. by putting this note next to this note following this note, you have an order, you have a mathematical sequence of black dots on white paper with five lines going through them, and you have the notation for that. Now, how that is presented is going to touch you in a very unique way, right? Obviously, if you sing that, obviously, if you play that without feeling, it's one thing. And when the master plays it, it takes you to a different world. I'll never forget a couple years ago at our Reclaim concert, the artist Isabel Bayraktarian did this for our conference attendees. She stood up and she shared with us two renditions of the hymn Surp Surp. And so she sang Surp Surp as, Surp Surp is our holy, holy, holy. She sang it as Gomidas had written it, as the priest had written the notation. She says, these are the notes of Surp Surp. And she presented that. And then she said, and now these are the notes of Surp Surp, the same notes, but sang as Gomidas had written it, with the feeling, with the belief system in there. It was like night and day. You're listening to it and you're going, whoa, did we just hear the same hymn? Well, what is that difference there? What is that difference? That's what we try to find. That's actually, to me, the biggest mission that we have in front of us. Allowing people who are human to experience the divine, because we know that there are certain things that go beyond that explanation, and slowly we start explaining them, and they lose their mystical power, their quote-unquote magic, and then we still find new magical phenomena. And I'm using these words liberally because I'm assuming that, you know, you're on board as next steppers. Yeah, I'm not talking about parlor tricks. I'm talking about magic. Well, wasn't the resurrection, really? I mean, isn't that a magical event? Now, again, not a parlor trick. I'm talking about beyond our understanding. Who's that? There's a magician, Chris Angel. And he does things just go beyond what you can imagine. I saw this once. He was inside this this cube, this cement cube, for 24 hours with people watching him. And at the end of 24 hours, this cube is going to now fall on the ground with him inside of it, a cube block. And he's struggling. They're showing you videos and everything. And then it falls, boom, and the place goes silent. I think it was in Times Square. The whole square went silent. And a second later, he appears on the rooftop of one of the buildings, of one of the apartment buildings. Okay, so you know in your head that he did not fly there. You know that he didn't transfer there, but it leaves you wondering. David Copperfield, what was it, several years ago, he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. Now, you know for a fact, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that statue did not disappear. And yet, you're looking at it, and it's not there. It's not there. Okay? So now, it goes beyond your rationality, beyond what you're thinking. Well, these are things that are magical. And then, all of a sudden, you've got somebody who comes out, and they'll put out a book. They'll show you a video and say, this is how it was done. And all of a sudden, that magic is gone. That wonder has gone. Many times, people try to explain the articles of our faith. Much like people who debunk things like, what is that, astrology, you know, that the planets somehow, their force will influence who we are and what we are, and, you know, the fortune cookie telling you what your tomorrow is going to be like. And there's people who will debunk them, and they'll look at them and say, this cannot happen and everything. In the case of the resurrection, it's a unique situation because it is being fortified by a group of people who have faith, namely us, the church, and faith in something that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know is true, but it's not rational. It doesn't follow. It doesn't follow. We know cells die in 3 days. They're gone. Blood hasn't gotten there. But we know that Jesus Christ rose for other reasons. For the victory of the church. Namely, in the aftermath of the resurrection, against all kinds of persecution, you had a group of people who were eyewitnesses to the event, who went on to their death, not denying it, standing up and saying, this did happen. Now, you don't do that unless you're very confident that what you're saying is real. And it's based on the witness of these eyewitnesses that we have built our church. And the church becomes the belief system, the way by which we express ourselves. A little bit too much, right? At the beginning, I wanted to get this out of the way because I'm going to talk about Lent, and it's very important because everything we do during Lent is based on ultimately getting to that resurrection. Getting to that resurrection on Easter Sunday, because that resurrection is what gives definition to the rest of everything else we believe. So let me take a break right now, okay? I'm going to take a break and let you kind of digest this. And we're going to digest it in a nice way, okay? I am going to play for you a song called Crean Ac Ror. Now, this is a Paul McCartney song that came out in 1970. And I heard it the other day and I said, I've got to play it again. You can't believe how many times we had the phenomena of having vinyl records that would turn white because we'd play these things over and over. Right after the Beatles broke up, the first album that McCartney put out, he was the first of the Beatles to put out a solo album. He put out an album called McCartney, and it had this unusual song which had him drumming and with some wild animal noises. And I always wondered what it was about. And the other day I stumbled upon this, the explanation which McCartney had given. Apparently he had seen a film on TV about the Crean Ac Ror Indians living in the Brazilian jungles, their lives and how the white man was trying to change their way of life to his. So he said that the next day after lunch, he did some drumming, and the idea behind this song was to get the feeling of their hut. In other words, right? To walk in their shoes, to walk in their place, to feel their pain. Tzavadanam, right? So with that drumming, he added piano and later some voices, some animal voices you're going to hear in this one. Anyway, I will put a link on today's show notes with the exact explanation, his words, the background to this song. But for right now, I'd like to share it with you, okay? This is from 1970. Count it, 50 years ago. Crean Ac Ror by Paul McCartney. Green Akror, a tribe that inhabited the Brazilian jungles, caught the attention of Paul McCartney through a documentary, and he shared this song with the world on his premier solo album. Unusual, usually goes unnoticed by even diehard McCartney fans. Sometimes criticized because the drumming, they don't expect it. Anyway, I wanted to share it with you, probably because we're at the beginning of Lent and kind of like is the in-between of what we just talked about and what we're going to talk about. Hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes so you could check out more information about this song and all of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful music put out by Paul McCartney. Are you back? I hope so, because I am. And I'm going to share with you some ideas as we begin Lent. You know, this Sunday happens to be Bunbara Genton, the beginning, the day of good living in the West called Fat Tuesday, because they, of course, they start their Lent on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. Fat Tuesday, where everything goes, the carnival. That's what it is for the Armenians as well. We start our Lent on Monday, the 24th this year, the Monday following Carnival Day, or Paraginton. Exact translation means good living, the day of good living. And we have a Lenten period of 40 days. I'll be posting daily on the Western Diocese website, and you can follow. Well, actually, you know what? I'm not really sure if it's going to be on their website, if it's going to be on their Facebook page. But anyway, all I know is I'm writing these small little, they're basically inspirational, just sort of like a walk through the 40 days. And you got to remember that what we write these for is going to be for a broader audience than Next Steppers who have kind of like gone along. We do have a few Lenten journeys, one on the Divine Liturgy, one on healing, as well as one is just the Lenten journey. I'll make sure that today's show notes include all of the Lenten journeys. So I hope you will follow something that guides you through this next 40 days coming upon us. And there's ample material. I think we just renewed the Lenten primer. I'll make sure that's on. Check out today's show notes, okay? Let's do it that way. Check out today's show notes, and there'll be all kinds of information and little taglines that'll point you in the right direction, including the bland page. Oh, yes. The bland page. I love updating that, including 40 different vegan recipes, okay? Because the prescription for the Lenten journey is a vegan diet, nothing from animals. So if you want some great, great Lenten recipes, vegan recipes, they'll be on today's show notes, okay? There's 40 of them. Just check out that bland page. And it is a bland page because that's what Lent does. It brings us to the blandness. But let's leave it right there because that's not what I want to talk about right now. I want to start off by talking about a movie. And that movie, I'll admit, I have not seen. But it is a remarkable one, and it is a memorable one for me because I remember it from childhood. It is a movie called Sleep, and it is produced. It was made by Andy Warhol. Now you say Sleep, Andy Warhol. Well, it is exactly that. Sleep. When I first heard about it, I was in junior high, and we'd talk about it. Ah, it's like an eight-hour movie of a guy sleeping. And if you remember, Andy Warhol had another one called, I think it was called Empire. It was a view of 8 hours of the Empire State Building. Just straight up. It's a movie. Anyway, we heard about this when we were kids, and we'd laugh about it. Like, whoa, you know, go to a theater and watch somebody sleep for 8 hours. And Now that life has gone on and we're getting older and that time is more valuable and more precious, I doubt there'll be any time that I would sit down and watch something like that. Spend 8 hours watching. Anyway, long story short, we found out that just actually a couple years ago, I looked into it to see what happened. What was that movie all about that we laughed about so much? It turns out it was only 5 hours and 10 minutes, written by and directed and produced by Andy Warhol. And 1964 was the date of when it came out. And this morning, as I was getting things ready for today's shows, I discovered, yes, the movie is available. Where else? Yes, absolutely. It is on YouTube. All 5 hours and 10 minutes of it is on YouTube. And if you feel like watching it, there it is. It's there forever, okay? It's on YouTube. Anyway, it was kind of like a joke when we first heard about it. And then the more you think about it, the more sleep becomes precious, you realize that, hey, you know, we do spend, or we should spend, a third of our lives sleeping. And I'm sure that you'll agree, a good night's sleep is worth everything. If you can get a good night's sleep and wake up rested, you feel great. But unfortunately, that sleep is interrupted by so much in our lives. Mostly, it's interrupted by, not by noises, not by lights, it's interrupted by stress that we have put on our lives. Now, do you understand the connection where I'm going? Because this Lenten period is really a period for us to de-stress. I came upon this article that was written by Ada Calhoun last month. Okay, this is called The Sleepless Generation. And it talks about what's going on with the Gen Xers. But this opening line was very, very telling to me. It says, in the middle of the night, I wake up feeling warm. I open the window, pull my hair back into a ponytail, and drink some water. Then I glance at my phone, delete a few things, and see some spam. I hit unsubscribe and go back to bed. Then I lie there thinking, what if by opening that spam email I got hacked myself? What if I just sent everyone in my contact list a Burger King ad at 2 a.m? Now, wide awake, I move on to other concerns. My parents' health. My stepson's college tuition. Pending deadlines. Hours roll by. I tackle real-life math problems. How many weeks I have before getting my next freelance check? How many years until my husband and I pay off our mortgage? How much will be in my retirement account in 2040? How many hours of sleep I will get on this night? 4, 3.5, then it's 6 a.m. Time to make breakfast and send my 13-year-old son off to school. Oh, having a similar night like that, not unfortunately a little bit more than I'd like to admit, you realize that, you know, some of our insomnia, some of our difficulties is caused by excess worry, excess thinking, and probably the most nutritious thing that we can do for ourselves is give ourselves a good night's sleep. I mean, physicians will tell you this. Life coaches will tell you this. The church will tell you this. If you can get a good night's sleep, you function better, you're healthier. But here's the beauty of it. You wake up to a new day rested, and you're able to tackle that new day. Now, think about everything we've talked about today and where we're at on the church calendar. We're getting ready for Lent. And what I'm proposing to you today is a different way of understanding Lent. Understand Lent as a time to really bring things down to the bare minimum so that you can, yes, sleep better. I mean, think about what is the greatest gift that somebody can give you. The greatest gift that anybody can give you is time. Time is the one thing that you can't put a price on it. Can you have that time? You can't take back what you've spent. You have a finite number of hours ahead of you. And that finite, that because it's finite, it becomes more valuable as you move closer and closer to the end of where that time was going to end. You realize that it gets more and more valuable. And you want to take advantage of that time, to take advantage of it in a very peaceful manner. One of the greatest things that Lent can give you is that peace of mind. One of the things that people are looking for is that peace of mind. Why? It comes down very simply. So you can sleep better. I mean, is there anything greater than that, to be able to put your head on a pillow at the end of the day and rest? And know that you have spent your day wisely. You have done your best. You are at peace not only with yourself, but with your surroundings, with your family, with your neighbors. And you're able to get that full re-energizing that comes from sleep. So really, it's a bigger thing than we might think about, especially during the Lenten season. When you think about Lent, its purpose is really twofold. One of them, you go through all of these physical endurance tests. You're on a vegan diet. You are given spiritual tests where you have to diet from some of the negativity that you talk about, that you spew out. You have to diet from the gossiping that takes up your life, that consumes you, many times consumes you. You have to give up on the reprimand, reprimanding others, criticizing others. In other words, take a look at your life, to take the tenets of Christianity, some of the most basic teachings of Jesus Christ. Like, first, remove the log out of your own eye so you can better see the speck in your brother's eye. Okay, taking that log out is not an easy task. The speck is much easier, but you can't do that until you get the log out. And that's what this Lenten season is about. Now, what happens? And this is clinically proven. As you go through these steps, the amount of sleep and the quality of sleep improve in direct proportion, to your Lenten journey, believe it or not. Because as you start putting your stress down, your stress levels go down, you're able to put your head on the pillow and sleep. You don't need an Andy Warhol to show you a 5-hour sleep. You can experience that sleep. You can understand that sleep is the rejuvenation. It's the recharge in your day. Many times we wake up from a night of sleep not understanding that has to be the recharge. Why? We don't understand it, not because we're stupid, but because we haven't felt that recharge. You wake up groggy, you wake up sleepy, you wake up tired, and you've got life ahead of you. You've got to go from place to place, run around. And one of the greatest gifts that we can receive from the Lenten season is the ability to sleep. The ability to put our head down on the pillow and feel at peace. Feel that harmony, because peace and harmony are what the bottom line to all true religion is, definitely what Christianity is all about. To be at harmony with yourself, with your family, with your friends, and with your neighbors. The neighbors that are all around you, as well as the neighbors which we call the people of earth. And this opportunity is a very special one that comes to us once a year during the Lenten season. Because each of the Lenten days, each of the Lenten activities, each of the meditations that we have during Lent, the services that we have in church, the unique nature of our services, the hymns, everything points to that harmony that we need to have, that balance, that equilibrium point in our lives, so that when it gets to the end of the day, you can be at peace with yourself, and that peace breeds peace towards others. That's the greatest gift I think many people would love. And I would venture to say that almost everyone wants that. The ability to put their head on a pillow and know that their day was meaningful, was full, and they are at peace. It is a very special gift that is given us during this Lenten season, given to us vis-a-vis the practices of the church. I was fascinated, actually, in this article that I shared with you by Calhoun, just the preface to it, actually, I shared with you. But some of the statistics she gives, I'm just like, fascinated is not the word, it's like appalled, you know? The percentage of Gen Xers who say they sleep less than 8 hours per night. What would you think? What percentage? 77%, almost 80%. What? Like 8 out of 10 people? The proportion of Gen Xers who say their sleep quality is fair or poor. Poor. What would you think? 49%, half. Half of them say it's poor quality of sleep. Hey, you look at the world and you look at what's going on and everything. Can it be just that we're facing sleep deprivation? And why? Because we are consumed with so much of the little issues in life. And that's what Lent is, really. It's getting rid of the little, getting rid of the clutter, getting rid of the things that do not belong in your life. Jesus, after 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by the tempter, he's hungry, he's thirsty, and says, go ahead, take these stones and turn them into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What? What do you mean? There it is. What do you mean, what do you mean? I mean, it's really fascinating how people do just ignore some of the beauty that's given to us through the Gospels. And we'll opt for so many other quick fixes, when all along the fixes are right here. The fixes are all with us. He says, set your mind on God's kingdom and all else will come. Do not worry about what you're going to wear, about what you're going to eat, how you're going to look. And yet, what do? We worry. We get up in the middle of the night and we worry. And that worry causes the stress, which causes the insomnia, which makes us look around, which causes the lack of sleep. Sleep deprivation causes anxiety, causes difficulties in our lives, poor health, and eventually causes the destruction that we see all around us. All because we didn't take this very simple message. Seek your mind on God's kingdom and all else will follow. And you say, okay, Father Voskin, that sounds good, but you know, what if we're struggling with cancer? You can't just say, you know, leave it to God. Yes, you can. That's what I'm here to tell you. Yes, you can. Because see, what happens is as we get bigger and bigger problems, like for instance, let's not even go the health route. Let's talk about financial, okay? I haven't been able to make my mortgage payments. How could you say that? How could you say something like that? It's been 2 months I haven't been able to make my mortgage payment. If I hit the third month, my house will be taken from me. Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Well, does it ever occur to you that you're looking at it only with the options that are in front of you? And sometimes you need to explore options that are beyond. But you can't because you're so consumed with so many different things, events. Like I read a few minutes ago, she gets a text in the middle of the night. Is it spam? And by deleting it, did I cause that spam to go viral? And is everybody now that I know, all my contacts receiving something from me at 2:30 in the morning saying, go to Burger King or whatever it is. I mean, unfortunately, this is what our day and age has come to. And just the other day, Susie sends me this email, comes to In His Shoes from Wells Fargo Bank. Our account has been compromised. And because of that, what we need to do is go on to their website. And this email came with all kinds of bells and whistles, with from their logo to links signed by the president, actual signatures and everything, until you go and you look further. And you do a little bit of investigation, like hover over the links rather than press on them. And you see that, no, it's a scam. They're going after you. They want you to press on it. And do you know what our saving grace was? Yes, we want to say we're brilliant. We figured it out and we knew that it was a scam. But the saving grace is that In His Shoes does not have an account at Wells Fargo. Oh! So, impossible. What are they sending us? But you're being hunted down day and night. And so now, all of a sudden, we have to have one more step on top of all of the security measures we take. We have to be even more alert. Add to that all of the thousands of different scams that I'm sure you get those calls all the time. Now, our cellular service has given us a little warning. It comes out with, this is possibly a scam. It is likely that this number is a scam. Well, thank you, but there's still many, many more numbers that go past it. And I say, wow, these guys are heartless. What do they want from me? Well, it's not anything they want from me. It's just that calls are now cheap, they're free, and so somebody programs a set of computers. Imagine if a set of computers can generate 20, 30, 40,000 calls a day, right? And that's just limited because it takes time for the phone to ring, for somebody to answer, for somebody to refuse. That's the only reason I'm saying 20, 30. Of course, it could generate millions of calls a day. But imagine if your computer could generate just 20,000 calls. And imagine if there are, 99% of those calls are answered by people who are street smart, which they're not, right? And only 1% goes through. What are you talking about? 1% of 20,000? 200 people? Sending in $1,000 every day, sending in $5,000 every day, just 1%. Look at the money. And so they don't care. Blanket, sending it out. How they sleep at night, that's another story. I just can't understand that. But I do know how I sleep at night. And the more guilt we have, the more difficulty we have sleeping, the more worries we have, the less sleep we get, the more stress we have, the more difficult it is for us to find that rest. That's what Lent is about. It's your sleep relief. It's understanding the power of forgiveness. Giving you the chance to start again gives you an idea that you can put your head on the pillow, that you are loved, that at the end of the day, it's not over because God loves you and has forgiven you. By understanding that you do not have to worry, that God is with you through your difficulties, it's the greatest comfort that you can have. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And for you to put aside material gain, to understand that all of this is temporary. Everything you see, have seen in this lifetime, since you broke your mother's womb and came into this world, every image of everything that you've seen has been temporary. There is only God that is eternal. And the Lenten season is the time for you to connect with that eternity. Find the peace this Lenten season. We're giving you the tools. The rest, it's up to each of us to take those tools, to use them, to come to peace and harmony. We'll be going through this during the next few weeks as we enter into the Lenten season. Like I said, do check out today's show notes, and there'll be all kinds of links that you can grab, that you can follow along. A lot of tools to use and to enjoy. Let's take a break right now. Here is Susie to make her pre-Lenten announcement. I'll be back in a couple.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you, all of you, who listen, who share, who pray for us, who support us. God bless you all. We get into this Lenten season, a heightened time for prayer, and you better believe you're all in my prayers, as is this ministry, and I know this ministry is in your prayers. I want to thank you very much. I'm going to be at the St. Vartan, Oakland, California Church for the next 2 weeks, next 2 Sundays, for Sunday services, and I will be at St. Leon's Cathedral for the Women's Prayer Day service Wednesday, the 26th in the morning. And then beginning that same evening, I'm doing a series called Simple Words. Every Wednesday evening, part of the Lenten Vigil service, I'll be giving the message at the cathedral. And we should have those recorded. Those will probably be recorded and we'll distribute. And I do believe at this point, I do think that they're all going to be in Armenian language. But one way or another, we will make those available to you. And I'm doing a series called Simple Words of Our Faith that we reiterate, we say, and we really never really take the time to think about it. For instance, the word Amen. Amen. We finish each of our prayers with that word. What does that mean? What is that exactly saying to us? Words like forgive, words like thee, thou art. What does that mean? Why don't we have those thee, thou arts in the Armenian language? What does that say about the faith? So there's a lot of dimensions to this. So follow along. That's going to be my Lenten journey, is to identify these words. So I hope you'll follow along wherever you can. There's some great Lenten journeys, 3 of them that we have prepared in years past, about healing, about the divine liturgy, about Lent itself. Follow them for 40 days. Actually, I think one of them is even 49 days. Goes all the way to Easter. We'll have a link on today's show notes. Do try them. Put them on your phone. Put them on your device. Put them in your car. Burn them onto CD, whatever way. But use them, and use them daily, because you'll find strength in those messages. I've had them up for several years, and I cannot tell you the number of people that have responded, that have sent in these beautiful, beautiful notes that keep me going. Beautiful messages of hope that I understand that they're getting something from these messages. So God bless you, and thank you for your prayers for this ministry. Well, that about does it. We just did another WD 168. Like I said, show notes, you'll find the latest one, have some stuff that's interesting. I would love to hear from you, especially those of you who are listening from different countries, different continents. I'd love to hear from you what you think about WD 168, because it occurs to me and the gentlemen who are producing it that it is really kind of a North American phenomenon. Well, I'm kind of wondering, what do you think about it elsewhere? So let me know, okay? And finally, middle of Lent, March 13, 14, 15, we're having the Reclaim Conference. Reclaim Etchmiadzin this year. I cannot impress upon you enough that if you can make it out to Burbank, it will be well worth your while. 3 days of being with people, sharing with people, sharing God's love, and understanding this beautiful phenomena that we have. This beautiful, not cathedral, but mission that we have that we call Etchmiadzin. Check it out. Check out the link and the flyer that appears on today's show notes. Well, on behalf of this wonderful crew who put today's show together, I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. For Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-ball. One top minutes.